Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Third down, three. Hurts under center. Barkley the back. Two tight ends. Four in the defensive line. Hurts gets the snap, fakes the handoff, rolls to the near side. Short pass, Barkley 10, then he dropped the ball. Dropped the ball as he was turning his head on the near sideline at the 7. Turning his head, took his eye off the ball. It's fourth and three, and the Eagles are going to send their field goal unit out there to try to make it a 6-point game.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? Welcome to Maggie and Perloff Show. That was a terrible play for Philadelphia Eagles fans, a great play for Atlanta Falcons fans. Saquon Barkley drops a key pass on third down. Eagles leave plenty of time on the clock for Kirk Cousins. Atlanta Falcons win. Maggie, you tell me as a lifelong Philadelphia.
Me.
No, you tell me. How am I supposed to react to that? Who am I supposed to blame? Last night.
Tell me who you blame.
Well, last night in the moment, I blamed the entire thing on Saquon Barkley. I thought that whole L goes on his forehead, and I wonder if that's the kind of player he is. But since then, because I've had a lot of time to reflect.
Yeah, have you been up all night? I was worried about you. I didn't text you or call you or anything, but I was worried.
Since then, I've decided Saquon Barkley is definitely to blame, but there's a lot of people to blame. Obviously, everyone's going to go to Nick Sirianni, the head coach. What do you do around here, Nick Sirianni? But I actually had the thought, Howie Roseman was on a heater about 4 years ago. Mm. He has made every single wrong decision possible as a GM on this team. They are a disaster. I said this, they are the same team that blew the end, lost 5 of their last 6. It's all bad, Maggie. Like, the blame should go everywhere. This is one loss in the standings, but to me it feels like the beginning of the downfall of the current version of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Amazing. All right, let it out. Because, you know, normally you stonewall all the time. You don't let your real feelings be known. You'll be like, oh, it's just a loss. I'm glad that you're feeling this whole thing because you're right. How did you allow the Atlanta Falcons to snatch victory from the hands of defeat? And if you're the Eagles, you had that game.
Yeah.
You've got to be crushed by this. Now, if you're talking about specifically, though, who lost this game for you, it was the combination of Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni. That play call was the single dumbest thing I've heard and seen, because here's why. You're right about your defense. Mm-hmm. You got some problems. You had no pass rush, and you have no run defense. Right. Those things are serious problems.
You hate tackling.
And you hate tackling. That's a big problem. But here's the thing. You know what kind of defense you have.
Yep.
And so.
Right. That's why they ran that pass play.
No, see, I think that's where the downside of, they didn't even think the pass could become incomplete because Saquon Barkley is pretty sure-handed.
Yeah, caught every other target that night.
But they didn't, in that moment.
Right.
You have two downs if you want to. So you're on third down and 3.
Right. And if they handed that ball to Saquon Barkley, that was a minus 2-yard play. The entire Falcons team was lined up to stuff him.
Okay, but at least you would have taken another 40 seconds off the clock.
So what? They were in the red zone in 11 seconds.
Okay, but you would have still had a fourth down. If you ran either another play or you kicked the field goal on that play, you're still taking some time off of the clock here. And you have now given it to Kirk Cousins. Yeah, it took him like no time to get down the field. But put a little bit more pressure. Instead of a minute 39 left with no timeouts, now I'm giving it to you with like, I don't know, maybe 50 seconds left. Like, it's a different calculus when you take the field.
It's more, you had over a minute left. And it doesn't matter. The Falcons almost had to kill time. They left 30 seconds for the Eagles. They scored too quickly. Like, time was not a function. And I think everyone who's an Eagles fan knew that Kirk Cousins was going to rip right down the field because the DBs can't cover anybody. I don't know why they were doing it all night long. Like, Darius Slay is cooked. The rookie, Cooper DeJean, was out there. Reed Blankenship has never been able to cover anybody.
Well, they had to put Maddox back in the game.
They just should have been ripping down the field.
Back injury. Yeah.
Yeah, so honestly, I think that's why they threw the screen pass. They're like, well, we better get this first down or we're toast.
Okay, but again, like...
So you could have gone for it. But by the way, your argument doesn't hold water because they still could have gone for it on 4th and 3.
They could have. And
so is that the mistake or is it throwing a pass play?
Well, I think it could have been both. I think it's not running the ball to make sure that you left as little time on the clock as possible because you do have Saquon Barkley, right? So you don't know. What if he gets a yard or two? The tush push was working like gangbusters last night. You had options there, and you could have taken way more time off the clock. Atlanta had no timeouts. You had them. And you had two plays to get 3 yards. And I know you're down in the red zone. You're really close to the end zone, so like things get really, you know, kind of compact. It can be a little bit harder for the offense, but I mean, again, two plays to get 3 yards. If you're a winning program, you're a championship caliber team or whatever, you've got to find a way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's one way to do it.
When
everybody is jammed in the middle, as Nick Sirianni said afterwards, the Falcons were playing that for a run up the middle. And you know how the NFL is, that there are a lot of negative runs. We've seen it all over the place the first 2 weeks. If they had lost a yard or gained like 1 yard, then it's 4th and 2. They probably would have kicked the field goal anyway. Same exact result.
Again, though, you're taking 40 seconds off the clock and more. So it's not a minute 39 left with no timeouts. And Kirk Cousins, right, to his credit, engineered an amazing drive. You know?
Which they had plenty of time.
He was not touched. This is a guy who's coming off an Achilles. Yeah. You think you might want to pressure this dude. And all of a sudden that offensive line, or maybe it was just your defensive pass rush was so tired or whatever it was, turned into the 90s Cowboys offensive line.
Tired from what? They weren't on the field. They didn't do a single thing all night. The Eagles paid for this guy, Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
Send him back to New York along with Saquon Barkley. What are we doing here?
Wow, Howie Roseman, giving up on Barkley already?
Oh, yeah. No, we don't need this. This is not the kind of energy the Eagles need.
What? He was the prize of the offseason.
In the media's mind. I mean, paying $39 million for a running back, I don't think analytically, the analytic community was not exactly high on that. It's just it's the energy of the Eagles. And maybe that's all on the head coach. But the tough guys that won the Super Bowl, they're long gone. There's sort of the remnant of the last Super Bowl team. Is Brandon Graham still there? But generally, I mean, I think they built a soft team. There's just no way about it. And Barkley is really good. He's a very talented player, but he's not going to make a difference. I think all Eagles fans know that.
Barkley had 22 carries for 95 yards. You
not
mentioned
great.
What he did in the passing game. 4 catches on 5 targets, obviously the one he missed at the end for 21 yards. I mean, he was a lot of the offense last night.
Is that in a good way or a bad way?
I'm just saying what it is. You know, you had no A.J. Brown, and eventually you got Devontae Smith going, and there was one big catch to Goddard, but that was all I basically remember of the entire game.
I honestly, if I could look back, like, Jalen Hurts got sacked one time the entire game. Like, he should be dropping. There was no pressure on him. He should have been carving up that team. I understand the receiver, A.J. Brown, was out. But still, and he actually had to do it with his legs for a lot of reasons.
Which was impressive. I know you hate that because he was taking a lot of contact.
Yeah.
He was lowering the shoulder. I mean, Jalen Hurts in the second half was a different quarterback. To his credit, he did start running. He was getting all like some dirty yards for you. He was actually the offense with Barkley.
He finally got out of a stupor from last year where he would run. And there was a play earlier where he had a 3rd and 3 in the red zone, and he had the first down right in front of him and instead threw it out of bounds. That was last year's Jalen Hurts. Now he's taking on contact. But then again, this is one loss. But doesn't it feel like you can write this team off?
I mean, I was not coming in here today with that opinion. You watch this team a lot more closely than I do. You live and die with them, being from Philadelphia. But I'm just curious, what about it? It was the vibe, the defense?
It's the lack of tackling. It is. My favorite team was the 90s Philadelphia Eagles with Buddy Ryan. Like, they were not super organized. They weren't great offensively, but they would hit you. There is nobody on this defense who looks like he's interested in doling out any punishment. Maybe Josh Sweat is the slight exception, but They're just so soft. I mean, they just hang back, and eventually teams are going to beat you.
Okay, so that's also like Vic Fangio,
right,
and who you brought in because you got rid of both coordinators last year,
right,
but you kept the head coach. Again, I mean, he gave up the play calling because he's the guy who's supposed to be like the mastermind of the game plan while everyone's in this super soft coverage at the end of the game. I get because you don't want to let someone get behind you. But again, Kirk Cousins is like on one foot out there and he can't even step into his throws until miraculously at the last drive.
Well, actually, no. It's funny because he started off looking like he was on one foot, but Kirk Cousins actually looked kind of like Kirk Cousins for most of the night. He was fairly efficient.
I think that was you guys. I think you helped him out. Because
well, wait till you see. The Eagles play Derek Carr and the Saints next week, and Derek Carr on a bad team can torch that kind of defense. Vic Fangio hasn't been their defensive coordinator, but his acolytes have been. Like,
right.
They've been running Vic Fangio's soft defense, bend, don't break. Carr is going to absolutely eviscerate this Eagles defense.
Unless they change something in the next week. It's just scheme. Like, that's it. They won't ever deviate from the scheme, no matter who they're playing. You're welcoming in a team that scored 91 points over the first 2 weeks next week.
Well, you saw it at the end of last year, and nothing has changed. Whatever happened in 2023 is still there. And I don't know why we thought it would change, getting new coordinators, Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, but it's still there. You came into the season, I'm going to give you credit. You said Nick Sirianni would be the first coach fired. Now there's a real, if they lose the next two games, which they might not. I mean, they're definitely have talent to beat the Saints and the Bucks. But if they lose the next two games, go to 1-3, then the seat is hot.
I mean, I would think so. That you had the game. I mean, you can't lose those games. I know I'm telling you something you already know. But, you know, Kirk Cousins is not Joe Montana. He's not Tom Brady. But for him to engineer a drive like that, where I thought you made him look good.
That is such a typical Eagles defensive drive under this new regime. Their DBs are, even C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who they got back, was a free agent, left last year, came back this year. There was a play where he got beat, and all he had to do was tackle the guy, and he had no chance. Once you get in the secondary against the Eagles, I keep saying this, just do a screen pass. You're home free. They do not want to tackle.
You know, one thing, and we're going to unpack this game a lot of different ways. You're welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. I mean, I think the poll question pretty obvious today. Are the Eagles done? I mean, Perloff's already writing them off. It's week two.
I think let's talk about Atlanta for 1 second.
Yeah, let's do it.
I was not impressed by them either. It feels like they are just middle of the pack in every way possible. Like, I picked them to win the NFC South. Now, I feel like all those teams are going to be bunched together. I don't know. Is this a different Atlanta team than the one that we've seen? It's gone 7-10, three straight seasons. Yeah, they're a little better. But is there an upside that's higher than 9-8, 10-7?
Well, I'll give you this. That was a big moment for them. I don't know if they can use it as like a real galvanizing, like use this as a launch pad because you're facing the Chiefs next week. So that's kind of tough to build momentum when you're going up against Kansas City. But I thought that was really gutsy. It was a amazing final drive. I mean, especially when the Eagles go on a 9-minute, 17-play drive in the fourth quarter and the game was lost. You've got to be wondering, like, all right, how are we going to pack it up? You know, we're 0-2, calls for Michael Penix. Like, they avoided a lot of potential drama. So I don't know what their ceiling is, but I like watching Drake London catch a pass in the end zone. He walked in. I like Bijan Robinson for the most part. So, and I thought Cousins, I mean, on that final drive really looked sharp.
Honestly, yes, that's all true. I just look around the NFC South. The Bucs just beat the Lions. The Saints are the best team in the NFL.
I know.
And all of a sudden,
we get two teams from the NFC South.
It's the entire complexion of the division looks different than it did coming into the season. It felt like it was the Falcons division and everybody else would be fighting for it. Now it feels like they are going to have to scrap and fight to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I thought the Bucs were going to be be heard from because they had that first place schedule. I'm like, oh, this is brutal for them.
Yeah.
But they go on the road and you beat the Lions and no one is expecting to. In the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Good morning, Weedos and coffee drinkers, with our own Andrew Kaplan saying, Drake London, all-time dumb penalty. He's right. So he scores the touchdown and then he gets the unsportsman like, did they show it on the broadcast?
Yeah,
I watched it twice.
It was a machine gun.
They did.
It was a machine gun.
That was a soft penalty. Those referees were. Did they wear Eagles pajamas when they go to sleep? I mean, come on.
I mean, Was there a single play the Eagles ran where there wasn't a penalty? What do you mean Eagles pajamas?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson almost threw his helmet in the stands, and they were like, that one, he clearly didn't throw his helmet. Come on.
That one I'll give you. But, I mean, the Eagles couldn't get a playoff without a flag. I mean, there was like the entire second half was yellow flag.
Drake
yellow
London
flag.
Was on the sidelines when he's doing his little celebration. It wasn't even that crazy. And you're going to throw a 15-yard flag when you know this is basically a game-winning extra point?
Good thing they've got Younghoe Koo. So 9 penalties for the Eagles, only 3 for the Falcons.
Eagles pajamas. Get out of here.
A lot of ineligible man downfield for Philadelphia. But the unsportsmanlike was bad for London for sure. But
by the way, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the Eagles would have kept the ball, I believe, right?
Right, but they were able to take
field position. But they would have actually kind of hurt them because they needed to run out the clock. It might have moved it back 50 yards. And the funny thing, I saw a big debate on social media, and I feel ignorant that I don't know this. The Eagles did not have a choice about when to implement that 15-yard penalty, did they? So it was a personal foul.
It's always on the point after, isn't it?
Is it always? They can't do it on the kickoff? Because that would have been helpful.
Yeah, they said that there's a new rule that you can't take that on the kickoff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was something I saw someone tweet last night.
Yeah, because a lot of Eagles writers were like, hey, do we have a choice here? No one seemed to know.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an easy choice.
Well, not really, because it was a long field goal.
I'm saying. You would want it on the kickoff. No one would want it on the extra point, right?
But I don't know, because it became a 48-yard field goal. So, and he barely got it. Over
I know.
Cross.
That's
I
what
think
I'm
a
saying.
Lot of people would want it over the on the extra point, because that would have been a tie game.
No, I get that. I'm saying it'd just be so much more helpful. You know,
right.
For the Eagles, if you could do it on the kickoff,
especially when you only need a field goal to win.
Yeah, exactly.
I
don't know.
I see both ways. I
30 seconds left.
I agree. I think I would take it on the extra point, but
50-yard field goal. I mean,
I know. Well, nowadays,
yeah. No,
in their sleep, these guys are hitting 50-yarders.
I'm getting mixed messages. Would you have, if you were given a choice and you were the Eagles, would you have pushed the extra point attempt back, or would you have taken the 15 yards on the kickoff?
Pushing the extra point attempt back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, right. Because
definitely.
A lot of people would have taken the 15 yards on a kickoff.
Really? See, I don't feel like that does as much. Well, I want to push back the extra point. You could have a bad snap, a bad hold.
Yeah.
It could get pushed. You're outside. Who knows?
But if they, and I don't even know with the new kickoff rules, the Eagles had plenty of time to kick, get in field goal position. They were almost there.
Yeah,
they had another chance to win the game until Hurts got hit and threw that pick. Man, I hate football and I love football.
I think that about sums it up. Curious to hear from, you're hearing from one Eagle fan. Brandon Graham said, this one stings and we deserve it. We deserve for it to sting. For Atlanta, though, season's off life support. You're 1-1.
And even
Kirk looks good. Here we go.
We did say one thing about Atlanta. They could even go 0-3. They are a tale of two schedules. The first half, brutal. The second half could not be easier. So if you're Atlanta, just let the team gel. Let Kirk get healthier. You're going to be better. Last night, you won the game, but there were some flaws.
Yeah, but that was impressive at the end to do that on the road. So I think two questions. One, who do you blame for that third down play? Is it Saquon Barkley not catching the ball, or is it the play calling that put them in this position to begin with? I'd love to know how people feel about that. Do you actually throw the ball on third and short when you're that close to the end zone and you are trying to kill clock? Your opponent has no timeouts left. You could have run this thing down a lot. I mean, granted, I know it didn't take them a long time to get down the field on the other side, but you left them a minute 39. This would have been like a little bit less than a minute.
But obviously it wouldn't have made any difference. The L would still look the same. Because
maybe it does, though. Maybe.
I mean, honestly, it worked out great because the Eagles got the ball back in position to hit the game-winning field goal. I don't think the Falcons were taking their time on that last drive. They had more than enough time.
I think that it would have created this other sense of urgency, right? Like, it's just very different when you get the ball back with under a minute as opposed to a minute 39.
The Falcons receivers were wide open on all of those catches.
Yeah, they definitely were. 855-212-4227. Also, is the season over for the Eagles? Perloff seeing the same bad mojo, same bad vibes, bad coaching, bad tackling, bad...
I mean, maybe you sneak into a wild card and lose that, but this is the Super Bowl expectation. I don't know what the odds are. I assume they dropped. They don't feel... Do they look like a Super Bowl team like they did a couple years ago?
Okay, but Dallas lost on Sunday. I thought you'd bring that up.
Yeah,
Dallas lost. They got blown out. The Giants and the Commanders are clearly not going to put up a lot of resistance. this, you could win this division just because maybe Dallas is not good.
Right. And
you get a shirt of a playoff game.
Right. I think the Eagles could make the playoffs, but they're not a dangerous team like they were.
Got it. 855-212-4222.
Last year they made the playoffs. And last year was a hot mess.
Well, they limped into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen this year.
Well, I don't think they're going to be staked to a 10-1 lead in the season this year.
I think 10 wins wins you this division. So it's going to be a race with the Eagles and Cowboys.
All right. What do you think about last night's game? Again, 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Keep those calls coming because that was a thrilling finish for someone who had no dog in the fight. I was shocked.
Fun game.
Yeah, it actually wasn't a fun game for like the first 45 minutes, and then all of a sudden it got real fun.
Second half was good.
Yeah. Tough game artistically, I would say. It really was the Jalen Hurts show for most of the
first
second half.
The first half was the no one show.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick on the Manning cast was by far the most entertaining thing that happened in the first half of that game.
Bijan Robinson looked good, and Saquon looked good in the first half, but it didn't feel like there's a new thing in the NFL where everybody's allowed to get yards and nobody's allowed to score. It's like the thing. Yeah.
It's early season stuff. All right, we're back with your calls. Again, good morning. If you were watching Monday Night Football last night, that was a doozy. 855-212-4227. Let's hit it. Hi, Perloff. It might have been a bad night for your Eagles, but it was a good night for me on Prize Picks because I had Saquon Barkley more than 77.5 rushing yards, and boy, did that work out. Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. Now, season-long fantasy, really not for me, but Prize Picks, you can pick a new lineup every day. I love that the app is really simple to use. You can pick two or more players across any sport. Just pick more or less on the projection. You could win up to 100 times your money.
Yeah, by the way, I am on fire right now thanks to Teteroa McMillan and Saquon. We had the same pick. We think alike. We've been working together too long. On Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect and all the withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, but Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance if one of your players goes down in the first half. By the way, huge Prize Picks commercial during the game last night.
I saw it.
A lot of fun. Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. Just some of the many ways Prize Picks puts its members first.
Okay, just download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP, like Maggie and Perloff, MANDP. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I want to take her on because she'll beat my ass.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Okay, it's bad enough to lose as an Eagles fan last night to the Falcons in dramatic fashion. Now I'm my co-host talking trash about the one person who will not be trash-talked. No. The one family that will not be trash-talked on the show. I will not stand for it. What did you just say?
I said that off the air, but I'm going to put together a top five things I'm already done with 2 weeks into the season.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do a little spoiler alert. Jason and Kylie Kelce might be pretty close to the top of the list. They might not be number one, but they're hovering.
Do you understand how close this is to me? Kylie Kelce, not only did she go to my alma mater, Lower Merion High School, she is the field hockey coach at Lower Merion High School. She is royalty in our household. She's like,
I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid she's going to kick my butt. She would actually roll up to the studio, take her earrings out and come in and smack me around a little bit.
She is the coolest.
She's Philly,
you
man.
Might not like Jason and you might not like Travis, but Kylie, yeah. No. Yeah. Nothing will be said ill of her.
Okay, just Jason Kelce.
All right, can I make... I will concede one thing. Maybe it was a bit too much Jason Kelce last night. Maybe just a tad.
I mean, it's like he's running state TV in the Monday Night Football booth.
When they changed the ESPN logo to a green image of Jason Kelce permanently.
Yeah, talk about Eagles pajamas, EJ. It wasn't the refs, it was the producers.
Classic ESPN, get a hold of something funny and just milk it to death where all of America is like, this isn't funny anymore.
Well, we were expecting that Belichick was going to be oversaturated because he's working everywhere. And he was on the Manning cast. He was really good on it last night. I said this whole thing is backwards. He should be in the booth calling games and Brady should be in the studio. But anyway, I'll be right about this forever. But the thing about it is, I don't see nearly as much Belichick as I do Kelce because of the commercials. Belichick's not in any commercials and Kelce's in a million. So good
Absolutely.
For them.
No. Every commercial has got some version of the Mannings or some version of the Kelces. When
the
it
Mannings
works,
is like Stockholm syndrome. They've just been around so long. That's like I don't even see them anymore. That's not Stockholm syndrome. It's almost like white noise. Like I don't even see Peyton Manning anymore.
Yeah, or Eli just pops up in random commercials that don't even have anything to do with him. It's like Sky Rizzy. Then Eli is throwing a football through a tire. No, it's bizarre. What did you think of their approach last night to make it a celebration of Jason Kelce? Were you annoyed? Was everybody who wasn't an Eagles fan annoyed? I'm imagining so.
Yes. And the other part is when we did our top five most impactful non-quarterbacks, and I put Cam Jurgens number five. Had I only done that after last night's game, all of America would have been behind me because it was basically a highlight tape of him.
Yeah, except that he totally screwed up week one. I didn't think he was so bad this week. And he actually can do the tush push. That was a huge relief.
Yeah, that is a relief.
He actually couldn't week one. They fumbled the snap.
Yep.
This is all bad. This is all bad. I will not, like I did with the Phillies, I'm not going to claim to be a fan of another team. I mean, I still am a big, I do like the Dodger blue. It looks good with my eyes.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah. What? You do claim that.
Yeah, but no, in the NFL, I won't claim a second team.
Oh, he's
I won't
not going to jump on a bandwagon.
Gotcha,
no, wow.
Okay.
I mean,
how long is that going to last? I give it a week.
Andy Reid is kind of our coach.
Took him 10 seconds. He's already doing it.
Yeah, they beat you in the Super Bowl. You can't. We cannot.
I don't know. It's when you say they, I think of it as more of a we.
Wait. You're a Phillies and a Dodgers fan?
Nico just got here, and he's like, I'm sorry.
Let's move on.
Back up the truck. What? Yeah, Nico, it's not right. Let's go to Kevin. He's in Oregon. He's got a thought on what he saw last night. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning. Listen, you know, after watching the first 2 weeks, it seems to me that there are like four or five really good quarterbacks in the league, and there's a bunch of overpaid guys that have no offensive line help because the numbers are down. It's like the running backs and the defense are the ones that are making their money right now. And
the I think running backs
would have been better off. There's a lot of running backs that are, you know, getting 90, 100 yards a game. And
I thought you said making money. I was like, what? No.
No. I said they're earning their money.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
But I think they would have been better off to spend money on their offensive lines. The other thing is the season's too long because none of these guys want to play in preseason. And so what we're watching right now is the kinks getting worked out, which normally would have been worked out in the preseason. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah.
Kevin, it's a great call. You know, the no preseason. I'm crafting my list of things I'm already over 2 weeks into the NFL season, and I just put number five, no preseason impacting the regular season. I'm over it.
Sign me up on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, A.J. Brown already got paid. Otherwise, he would have been out there last night. That was a big deal.
Wait, what?
I mean, he got hurt in practice on Friday. How
got
is he going to play on
got hurt. What? Let me show you some video of that injury. I mean, geez.
You don't think he wants to play out on Monday night?
If he was a big contract coming up, then A.J. Brown would have been out there.
Well, we got T. Higgins, who doesn't have a contract. Yeah. And he's also, I mean,
if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm burning my T. Higgins jersey. I mean, come on.
Or you could have just paid him.
Or you'll be a T. Higgins fan by Thursday. So just wait, buy a jersey.
By hour
the
two.
Bengals, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
burn it.
Bengals fans are generally nice people because of Cincinnati, but they cannot be happy with T. Higgins.
I think there's a lot of fans who are not happy right now. I think 49er fans are not happy with Brandon Ayuk, and they got more bad news yesterday, which I don't know if Bogus has this one in his update. We'll do that next hour.
I mean, it's pure science.
You saved it for us, actually, didn't you? Yeah.
And if you pay a quarterback, get ready for that quarterback to stink. I mean, that is now a rule in the NFL, right?
Wow.
I mean, have you seen Trevor Lawrence's $55 million contract? The guy's completing 52% of his passes.
I know. That is brutal. We'll get more into that in a minute.
Generally, though, I do notice that the contract status does affect the way people play. I do think it's a major concern. How do you react after you get the big deal?
Definitely. I mean, my old co-host Bart Scott always said, the money just makes you more of what you already were. Bogus has headlines. What's up, dude?
Good morning, guys. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We'll see if he's actually worth $45 million a year, but Kirk Cousins earned his game check last night in Philly.
Here's Cousins waving London to the far side. Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there. Caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Drake London!
For the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone.
Good time to get back there. West Durham on the call. Falcons, Radio Cousins, and Drake London finishing off a six-play, 70-yard, 65-second game-winning drive on Monday Night Football with that 7-yard connection with about 30 seconds to go. Cousins was 5 for 6, accounting for all those 70 yards on that drive for an important win.
When we can find those inches, it can really change the tail of the season. So we're going to have more of those up ahead, and we're going to have to keep, as a whole team, finding ways to make the plays to get it done.
Now, the game-winning score bookended by that Saquon Barkley drop and an interception from Jalen Hurts. Both these teams are now 1-1. Philly moves on from the loss, not knowing when A.J. Brown will play again. The receiver telling ESPN yesterday he will miss multiple weeks with the hamstring injury he suffered in practice last week. Rams receiver Cooper Kupp's an IR candidate thanks to a sprained left ankle from Sunday's loss in Arizona. And yes, now the Niners will live without Deebo Samuel for a while because of a calf strain suffered in the final minutes of their loss in Minnesota. And U.S. Open tennis superfan Andy Dalton is now the Panthers' starting quarterback.
It's a big day for Perloff. I mean, bad day because the Eagles lost and you said the season's over, but then good day because your guy Andy Dalton back into the spotlight.
Yeah. It's an okay day. I'm not sure that's the best spotlight to be in.
Behind a crappy old line with a terrible situation.
Yeah, this is not exactly set up for total success for Andy Dalton. I was happy to see him starting again, but I am nervous for this team, obviously.
Shows that an Adam Thielen temper tantrum can get you.
I mean, but imagine being worse than Bryce Young.
No, that's hard to imagine.
That so, won't happen.
You're right. The bar is low. If he can win a couple games, he's going to look
buried.
Yeah, yeah.
The bar is underground.
Yeah.
There is no bar.
You say that, but this is the Panthers. I really hope this goes okay. That's the ceiling here.
If it goes okay, they'll build him a statue.
Can you,
okay would be
can
like
you make
Christmas.
A statue with red hair? Can you get it? Is it bronze?
That'd be cool.
I mean, he looks like... he should have been on Game of Thrones. He should have been fighting for some.
Awesome.
It's the whole thing. It's the color of his hair.
Yep. Yeah.
It's always styled, helmet or not. He's got like this kind of, he's a handsome guy. He's got
like
this like scowl. He looks like he should be in the Kingsguard or something.
He looks like Robin Hood.
But early in his career, none of that was going on. He was just a very normal looking guy. And all of a sudden, somebody got to his hair. And now you're right. He's a Viking.
It's definitely a glow up. I'm actually kind of impressed. How old is Andy? 35? When do guys start getting a little gray in the beard? Like 40?
I agree now. I'm 33.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When they get married. It's person to...
Yeah.
But I mean, the red hair genes in him are strong. I mean, that guy is a real redhead.
I was thinking, do you think his parents are both redheads? Because you're right. Like, this is coming through big.
I don't know. And
I don't know about the recessive
what's his nationality?
Gene and the dominant...
He's not a...
He's your friend.
Well, it's funny. I don't know anything about
him.
His genealogy.
8,000 words about him in
questions.
Sports Illustrated.
I don't know his genealogy. I assume he's Scottish?
Andy Dalton heritage.
As a fellow redhead, I will say neither of my parents have red hair.
Really?
Got it from both my grandparents.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Nico, take off your hat.
Nico's super... Yeah, it's red. You're like Evan Roberts.
Is it Andy Dalton red, though? That's a different color Andy Dalton's got.
Do you think Dalton's dying it a little bit to make it super red?
I'd say enhancing, not dying.
What do you guys think of his chances, by the way? Is he going to do anything?
What, a magic spell? How else did you do this on air tonight? What are his chances of what?
Of like, being good at resurrecting his career. I am not having much hope here that it's going to all go great.
There's like, some footage of, like, receivers running open.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Bryce Young really is just not seeing the field, and maybe he could be okay. I think there's a greater than 5% chance.
Should I buy my Dalton 14 Panthers jersey?
I wouldn't do that. That might be a little early for that. First of all,
would
I don't
you
know
like
you
that as a
that.
Belated birthday gift for you?
Yeah.
I saw that at the Modell's in Brooklyn.
Andy Dalton is English with a little Irish.
Oh, really? Okay.
According to the internet.
Is there a Mrs.
wrong.
Dalton?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Very, very close. She's always at his side.
Is she responsible for the glow up, you think?
Yes, very much so. I mean, she's the one who probably got in the front row of the U.S. Open. And they were there when Djokovic lost. People were blaming Andy.
People or you?
No. It was a meme. I would never blame Andy for anything. But there was a lot of memes out there of like, oh, okay, good job, Djokovic. Why'd you let Andy sit right behind you? And are they friends? Like, is that, would that be the most unlikely friendship in the history of sports?
I can't imagine what they would have in common.
No, I don't think. I think Andy was just there. Anyway, by the way, most people don't know Andy Dalton was at the U.S. Open. You probably only were aware of that because I was talking about it.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum.
I wish I'd seen people taking shots at him for somehow jinxing Djokovic. And if he can do it,
the internet had some shots.
Also, very excited and enthusiastic to be taking the job. Maybe a little too excited. Tone it down, dude. The first round, the first overall pick, like the franchise is a disaster, right? This is like, it's a good day for Andy. It's a terrible day for the Panthers. Like, you basically have to admit your first round pick that you traded the farm for is not working out. And he's like, I'm excited. He was just a little too excited to be up there.
He smiled as big as Texas.
I didn't see this. Did he have a press conference?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Next hour.
We have sound from it.
Oh, my God. He's ready, basically.
You know, I think Bryce is going to be fine. I'm back, baby.
How's my hair look? WB Fox and just come out with a hat and a cane. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
He's like, try to keep me down. I'm just excited about the opportunity. It's like, there is literally rays of sunshine beaming out your eyeballs right now. Good luck, Bryce. Anyway,
let's get to baseball. It'd be super cool if the Mets scored before the eighth inning these days, but at least they scored at some point last night.
First and third, one out, tie game, 3-1 pitch. Line, left field, base hit to the corner. Marte wins it for the Mets. Bader scores. The Mets come back to beat Washington 2-1 in 10.
Keith Radd on Mets Radio. That's the Mets' 11th walk-off win this season, tied for most in the majors. The Braves took a 9-0 beating from the Dodgers, so New York has a one-game lead on Atlanta for the last NL wild card, and is just a game behind the Diamondbacks for that second wild card spot. Arizona losing in Colorado 3-2. Guess who didn't lose last night? The White Sox. They have their first three-game win streak since late June, courtesy of an 8-4 final in Anaheim. Chicago now only 79 games under 500 at 36-115.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I mean, there is a chance, I guess, that they don't get to that 120 loss mark if all of a sudden they're going to get hot at the very last minute and not be the worst team ever.
Good on them.
This would be a waste of time if they can't get to that mark. They got to. Like, we've done all of this stuff on the White Sox, and they're the second worst team.
Doesn't land the same. You're right.
No, it's just,
this has got to be historic.
We got to root for this. This has to happen.
So the other day I did research. The 2003 Tigers that lost 119 games, they entered the last five games. They were like 39-118. They went 4-1 in the last five to avoid getting to 120. So could the White Sox do the same thing? They just like turn it on the last week?
Man, that's got to be so frustrating. Now you try. For like a Tiger fan, or like you always say, Perloff, if you're good in the 2-minute drill, just make the whole offense the 2-minute drill. Like
the black box theory.
Yeah, just like find another milestone that you don't want to hit. Tell the players about that one, and then another one, and then another one.
Michigan is starting Alex Orji at QB Saturday against USC, and the Pittsburgh Penguins finally finalized an extension with Sidney Crosby yesterday. It's a 2-year deal, an annual average value of $8.7 million, which matches Crosby's jersey. Number 87. Guys, back to you.
That's nice. Thank you, Bogish. I have completed my top five things I'm already over 2 weeks into the NFL season. We'll save it. There's a tie for number two. I got to figure out how I'm going to break the tie.
Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift?
Nope.
Coin flip.
She's earlier. 855-212-227. Okay, see you guys on the phones. We'll get to that. Also, the latest with the 49ers. Oh, man, another injury. Bogish mentioned it. Debo Samuel, now the latest, going to miss a couple weeks.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Unpack it all next. Well, tough news, 49er fans. Not that it's that surprising because he misses time basically every season, but Deebo Samuel now going to be out for a couple weeks with a calf strain. So, Perloff, you add that on top of Christian McCaffrey, who's on IR with Achilles tendonitis. You add that on top of Ricky Pearsall, who's still working his way back, obviously, from that horrific gunshot incident, where thankfully he's okay. Brandon Ayuk still working himself back into playing shape because he missed the entire preseason and training camp. Ditto that for Trent Williams. And now this offense is down and taking some major body blows.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Mason has been great at back. So the one thing about this...
Not as good against the Vikings, but...
I think he's still at 100.
But not like he was against the Jets when he was just like, he was on his way to the Hall of Fame after that game.
The Vikings, to their credit, let the Niners get a lot of yards and then just tighten up in the red zone, got some turnovers. But the Vikings have the San Francisco 49ers number, and Sam Darnold knew the 49ers defense like the back of his hand because he was there. So that's a big surprise. The schedule might work out here. I know this seems dire, but they face the Rams this weekend, who are even more injured than the Niners. And then they have the Patriots in San Francisco, the Cardinals in San Francisco, and they go to the Seahawks. That's a tough game, but honestly, like, do you need a full arsenal to beat those teams? Probably, I would say no.
I mean, I think it definitely hurt you against the Vikings to not have Christian McCaffrey, did it not? I mean,
yeah, but
we've already seen what this has done.
I honestly feel that was a much tougher game than these games.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings sort of have their number. You're right, that could have been a perfect storm. But the other part of this is we saw this last year when Deebo and Trent Williams were both out. They lost games. And it was the only time all season.
Yeah.
One was to the Vikings, another I think was to the Browns, right?
And the Bengals. So they lost to Jake Browning, I believe.
And, you know, this is really where Ayuk's going to have to step up. And I don't know if he's had enough preseason snaps or reps or whatever you want to say. Like enough, I'm sorry, during the season to make up for the lack of preseason. But this has got to be his time, right? You paid him the money. You had this whole thing. And now he's got to be the one. Because what more is Purdy going to do?
Well, you say he's got to be. But is he good enough to carry a team? To me, he's never really shown that. One thing about Minnesota was coming off a short week. And it was in Minnesota. And it was 1 o'clock Eastern. Everything about that game was poorly designed for the Niners. I'm not panicking at all. The Rams are so beat up. I mean, if they can't beat this Rams team, then the Niners are in real trouble because no Cup and no Nacua. There's zero excuse.
Speaking of the Rams, George is our Rams super fan in Los Angeles. George, that was not a pretty day in Arizona on Sunday. How you doing?
Good, Maggie and Perloff. Very good. The Rams are definitely on life support right now. No Cooper, no Puka Nacua. Their offensive line still has serious issues. You're looking at 0-3 for certainly this weekend. I mean, I don't know how they're going to be the 49ers. I've never seen a McVay team this ill-prepared for Arizona, who they've beaten many, many times. Arizona looked like a Super Bowl team. They're good, but they're not that good. And it was just a total embarrassment. At least I still got the Dodgers.
You know, that's good, George. That's how we call coping around here. Just a quick little pivot. Who cares about football anyway? I got baseball for the next couple weeks, and that's how it's done.
I mean, this is real, real decision time for the Rams. Like, who are they as a franchise now? And we know they went all in to win that Super Bowl. Felt like they would quickly come back and become a contender. Now, because of the injuries, they don't feel like they're there.
Yeah, so are you advocating for what I think you're advocating for? Full tank?
The T word? Mm-hmm. You have Sean McVay and you have Matthew Stafford. George brought up a good point. Their O-line is decimated. But honestly, as bad as the offense was, the defense is worse. They could not tackle James Conner on Sunday. They just seem really, really soft. And their DBs are just running in the wrong direction consistently.
But maybe you think, all right, this is a place where we have a lot of young guys on our defense. You have a lot of dudes who are just getting their feet wet. Maybe they grow. And if you have Stafford and you have McVay, I know you lost Kupp and Nacua, but you still have Kyron Williams. You still have, like, you know, you got a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Stafford. I'm with you now on Stafford's Hall of Fame candidacy.
Thank you. I think the Niners-Rams game is going to tell us a lot. I think the Rams, if they go to 1-2, yeah, maybe their decision, maybe their calculus. Hey, how quickly do we return Cooper Kupp? Do we save him? How about Puka Nacua? Because say that they're 1-4, are you going to rush those guys back?
I mean, Nakua's on IR, so he's out for another 3 weeks no matter what, right?
Right.
Oh, that's a tough one. D is in Portland, wants to talk about last night's game. Perloff is already spiraling. Says the season's over for the Eagles, basically. What's up, D?
Good morning. Man, where do I start? Let's start with Jalen Hurts. Like, I feel like he took too long to get any throws done, any running, any passing. It was just a bad game. Like, I have no idea what the heck we're doing in the first half. Like, why are we waiting to score? Like, I don't get it. And then the defense, man, that last play, like, why are you playing prevent D? Like, get to the quarterback. You just got to get, like, one or two sacks, one at least. The time will just keep going. It's just so frustrating. I stayed up all night for that game, and then just to take a L, it's like, man, what the heck?
I know.
Thanks, guys, as always.
Oh, D, thanks, feel D. for you, man. We've all been there. We've all been there.
I would say a couple things about the first half. They kept throwing to Britton Covey, the punt returner, because A.J. Brown was out. I think that was a big reason the offense wasn't exactly electric in the first half.
There's some good coverage on Devontae Smith, too, because I'm like, well, why aren't the Eagles doing any like quick passes or anything like that? And then you look back at the replay, and you're like, well, everyone seemed covered.
Everyone being him being the only receiver. Yeah, they definitely miss A.J. Brown in a big way. He's really important to that team. I don't like pretending a receiver is that important, but man, is he a big deal. I do think that the Eagles were way too conservative on offense in the first half, because did you see the Falcons get to Hurts once? They were stonewalling them up front, and vice versa. The Eagles didn't even sniff Kirk Cousins.
Wait, but didn't they go for it on a fourth down and not get it at the end zone?
Right. But they were running. I'm saying they were chipping down the field and getting into the red zone and slowing down, which is, by the way, you're doing a list of things you're over in the NFL.
Yeah, top five things I'm already over, and it's week two.
I don't want to.
Own list?
No, the one thing is moving the ball between the 20s and not scoring.
It's really annoying. Yeah, I'm with you. This is why you have to bet unders. Is if there's one thing you take away from today's show.
I assume eventually the people who set the over-unders will adjust.
Early in the season, you know. In the season, you bet unders. Everyone knows that. And you did a nice job. That's silver lining for you. You had the under in that game.
Which, by the way, I did have the under in that game. Came really close to a miraculous over.
Everything about the end of that game was like miraculous / heartbreaking, depending on what side you were on.
Yeah, no, it's crazy betting. They know what they're doing there. They're very close to the line often, Maggie.
Question for you. Is Saquon Barkley a winning player? Dropped a crucial third down last night. Was it his fault, though? Get to all that next.